And it bears out very strongly what most pagans expected from their communion with the gods. And to moderns, it's a little disconcerting. Ilias Aristides' writings, they're called the Sacred Tales, which tells us about these visions and these strictures given by the god Asclepius, were in some ways very typical. Most ancients were concerned about health, concerned about their family, concerned about the practical problems confronting them. And moderns would expect that someone like Ilias Aristides, who spent something like 20 years trying to commune with the god, didn't ask big questions such as, how did the earth come to be? Why will I die? Is there life after death? These concerns are not there. And most moderns are often find this strange. They think he's a hypochondriac, and Ilias has been subject to all sorts of psychoanalysis, and I think that's really kind of missing the point. The divinities were approached as awesome powers. You tried to court them. You tried to placate them. You tried to gain some knowledge of what they could they wished you to do, and it was your hope that you would be able to prolong your life, perpetuate your family, and as I said earlier in Greek civilization, live on the lips of men and of your fellow citizens, and that was about all one could expect. The sort of concerns that later become important to Christians do not seem to figure very largely in these exchanges. And as I said, Ilias Aristides is probably more typical of his age than we would want to admit. Septimius Severus's son, the emperor who came to the throne in 193, his son Caracalla, who murdered his brother and had a very tortured career and was only kept in balance by his mom, Julia Domna, he made a visit to the Asclepieum. It's celebrated on the city's coins, and apparently made a visit to those incubation chambers with the same questions in mind as Ilias Aristides. He wanted to relieve his conscience. He wanted to know whether he would rule for a long time. Answer, no. He gets murdered soon after. The usual concerns that most pagans would have. So the sanctuary at Asclepius emerged as one of the great healing sanctuaries in Asia Minor. And this type of development can be seen at a number of cities. The city of Adzanus in Phrygia, a site under excavation by the Germans, one of the most beautiful sites in Turkey, seldom frequented by tourists. That was an inconspicuous Anatolian god. He was a weather god of sorts, going back to Hittite times. Adzanus gets enrolled in the Panhellenion. It receives imperial favor. The temple is rebuilt on a massive Ionic monumental scale, all compliments of Hadrian. And furthermore, the cult is reinvented as a Greek cult where the mother goddess, a form of Cybele, is identified with Rhea. Her ancient cave, which is 2 miles to the west of the city, is reinvented as a subterranean chamber underneath the temple of Zeus. So it's a double temple. It's to Zeus and to Cybele Rhea. And that sanctuary just takes off in the second century. It attracts all sorts of guests and visitors. Adzanus never did better than as a sanctuary in the second and third century. Today, it's a very modest Turkish village of maybe 5,000 people. At the time of, say, 200 AD, it had grown into a city of perhaps 15, 20,000 strong, with 3 bath complexes, a full stadium, and all again thanks to the shrine, thanks to the patronage of Hadrian, thanks to the reinventing of the cult as a Greek-style cult. Now, these gods of Asia Minor, in this new form, with their new festivals, their privileges, the grand temples going up, they had enduring power, in my opinion, through the whole of the classical age into the Roman age, and they didn't lose their worshippers very easily to Christians, as in my opinion, in the coming lectures. The cult of Adzanus apparently endured well into the 5th century A.D. Pergamon's shrines were still operating probably at the end of the 5th century A.D. That is maybe as much as 100 years after pagan worship was officially banned by laws in 391 and 392. And increasingly, the picture that will come across from Asia Minor is many of the ancient gods endured well into the early Byzantine age. And this has raised some considerable questions, because the usual picture, a picture that was created at the end of the 19th, beginning of the 20th century, is that worship in the Roman world on the whole was on the decline, and that Christianity moved in and filled a spiritual void. The traditional gods, represented by the temples, the shrines, the festivals, are seen as in decline. They're communal. They're not individual. New cults emerged, irrational cults, mystery cults, as they're sometimes called, which provided some type of individual worship or an individual quality missing in that communal worship. It's also thought that they offered some form of immortality or renewal, and that these cults prefigured Christianity, prepared for Christianity.